nasty. That is probably somewhat of a travesty having me. Then he told the people, you can call me your majesty. Keep your battery charged. He know it won't stick, yo. And it's not his fault to kick slow. Should've let your trick hold, chick hold your sick glow. Plus nobody couldn't do nothing once he let the brick go. And you know I know that's a bunch of snow.
That's our podcast like demographic right there.
Oh
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't talk about my mom,
yo. Guy who gets out of bed wrong and can't walk right for 3 days, juxtaposed with guy who goes and does cocaine off of a key in a dingy bathroom.
Oh, well, toilet seats, but, you know, each their own, I suppose.
Toilet seats is interesting because you can't see it. What happens if you misplace some? That's expensive, man.
I mean, if you really know what you're doing and you're really deep into the game, there's no line. It's just really, you're like Snuffleupagus. It's just... And there's something somewhere.
Sure, sure.
Just Tony Montana, just put it in a pile and get what you can.
Yeah.
You're going for like the surface area, not so much specific spots.
Right.
Anything within this general region. Oh, boy. So let's start with basketball, because that's all there is to talk about, I guess, right? Well, I mean, we do have Duck stuff. Should we start with, like, Avalos being actually officially gone?
Sure. I mean, it was kind of inevitable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like it was going to happen no matter what. Boise didn't really seem to have a second option. So do they have an AD yet?
They do. They hired the AD.
Okay.
I don't
know. I didn't pay attention to that part of it at all. So they got their AD. They got their football coach. Like in pretty quick succession, obviously. And now, you know, Oregon's in search of a defensive coordinator. I guess, you know, the prevailing thought, even like a month or two ago, would have been, oh man, this is a big loss for Oregon. Like they got to hit a reset button. Like, you know, we trust Cristobal. He's a good hire of head coaches. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing he's good at. But like, man, defense might struggle. But then you get into this year more and the defense was really, really bad. And, you know, they dealt with injuries. Sure. They dealt with guys not being there. Sure. I don't know how much of that can be put on Avalos, but, you know, I think after this season ends, you're feeling a little bit better as a Duck fan with losing him to Boise than you would have like, you know, even 3 months ago.
I mean, if they would have had a full year and they were at, you know, a top five defense again, then everyone would have been complaining more.
But
again, it all comes down to who they get.
Is it a good hire for Boise?
I didn't see what his did he get paid?
I think it's like 1.5 mil a year.
What did he get, about 5 years? Something like that?
Is that more like than Mario?
Yeah.
No, he just signed
pretty close.
He just signed an extension, so he probably has more than that now. Oh man, Oregon and the head coaching front gets the biggest bargains ever. It's insane. Like they never pay anybody, do they? Other than
no.
Like since Bilotti had the golden parachute, like Oregon has not paid.
They don't pay.
Did Willie not have a good contract?
No.
I think it was like 2.75 maybe. Like it wasn't.
It feels like it's on the higher end for Duck head coach has gotten.
I tell you what, you go win a natty as an Oregon coach, and then you'll get $5 million a year. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, you're still getting paid like, you know, like you're a Mountain West head coach.
Well, I always love the big incentives.
Like, yeah, you know,
get $500,000 if you win a Rose Bowl. You know, you win a national title, you get $2.5 million. Fuck it,
I don't remember the specifics, but I know Chip had that in his deals, mm-hmm. At Oregon. Like Chip had, and you know he fucking hit like all of them. By the way, but it was something like, you know, you win the Pac-12, you get, you know, $1 million. You do this, you get yada yada. And I believe Cristobal was on something similar as well too. So Cristobal, with like that first contract he signed, did end up getting paid just because, you know, he went out and won a Rose Bowl.
So might have got some winning the Pac-12 too this year.
Yep. So just going back to the Willie Taggart.
Yeah, we're counting that, by the way.
So he made $2.9 million in 2017.
Okay.
And then would get $3.2 million annually before contract escalators until January of 2022.
Oof. And I feel that's probably – that's got to be the biggest contract we've given to a coach like that.
And he had a 47-50 record at that point.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, hindsight 2020 on that guy. Not great.
Not great.
Although, you know, he was a hell of a recruiter. He brought in a bunch of guys. He kind of refocused Oregon on that. It's like, you know,
was he a great recruiter?
All of your assistants have to be really good recruiters.
Yeah.
And so if you actually look at the guys he actually brought to Oregon, which I don't hold against him because he had like 17 days to bring that class together.
Yeah.
Right. And then the next year when Oregon was like number one, you know, in July or whatever, you know what I mean? In the summer before he left, none of the guys that were supposed to come to Oregon
actually did.
And they didn't pan out.
Yeah.
None of them.
That's true.
A ton like, left. I mean, yeah.
None.
That's true. Huh.
And that's probably on him for coaching development.
On paper.
But, man.
That's really all he was, right? Like flash and being good on paper, but he never actually did anything good. Huh. Yeah, by the way, you know who recruited Justin Herbert to Oregon?
Elfridge?
Mark Elfridge. Mark Elfridge and Scott Frost. Yep. I remember because I saw them on the sidelines. While I was calling his high school games, I was like, what the hell are they doing here? Like, are they like watching for some like walk on offensive lineman or something like that? Like,
I think they're watching for like Connor Strom.
Are they really
Kellen Strom, whichever Strom. Yeah.
Are they really bored on a Friday night to where they're going to come watch some dumb high school game? Like, what are they doing here? And it's like, Herbert, no, you're not. Shut up. Man, Helfrich and Frost suck if they're going after Herbert.
Have you guys seen any names pop up yet for DC?
No.
Nothing more than the standard Oregon Live. Here are 77 candidates Oregon's looking at. Oh, okay.
I heard a random Twitter guy who has no idea how football works saying who he wants to be Oregon's defensive coordinator.
Or they just throw out ridiculous names like Brett Venable. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Hey, the Clemson DC making $3 million a year. I bet you he might be interested.
God, that is a thing too. That is a thing too. Remember like Oregon was like, they were talking about like bringing in TCU's head coach to be one of their coordinators or something some year. No, that's not how any of this works.
It sucks because you could – I can't remember his name. You got like the Clemson, like DB's coach and linebackers coach.
Yeah.
But they're making like $2 million.
That's true. Like,
why would you leave?
That's true.
Did you see what Sark is paying his new special teams coach hire that he brought over from Alabama?
What's that?
$1 million a year for a special teams coach.
Man,
good work if you can get it.
And special teams, Oregon's Bobby Williams is making like $350,000. Well, good money, like
earning every penny. Yeah,
maybe we should pull up a mill.
Yeah.
It's just because the conversation, you know, the last week or so has been that like basically college football sucks. Mm-hmm. No one watched the championship game. It was boring. It's predictable. But it's so hard to actually see an ending when schools like Texas, who's a good school, don't get me wrong,
right?
But they can spend $1 million on a guy teaching people to kick footballs and properly catch footballs that have been kicked.
Yeah.
Like there are school, like Andy Avalos was a defensive coordinator and he was well paid by Oregon and it was like slightly less than $900,000.
Yeah.
And a special teams coach can get a million.
Well, that's kind of the myth. Sark? Go ahead.
How much are they paying Sark?
This
guy's making the
million. I think it's five.
Five?
Because I think I read something over the weekend that Herman would have got like 6.5 this year if they hadn't fired him. So Sark's kind of technically a bargain, and that's why he can – spend so much money initially on assistance.
Man.
Plus you're in Texas. Got like them tax breaks.
That's true. I mean, that's true.
I ain't even mad about that, man. Like Sark is not a great coach. Like he's established that he's not a good head coach and Texas made a really bad hire, but like, I'm happy for him.
Is he the equivalent of Cristobal? I mean, Sark was unless it was just Tosh. I mean, he had some pretty good recruiting classes there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah, he was never a great – he's like, Murray, he's not a great in-game coach.
No,
but they were average for different reasons, in fairness.
and again, like, you know, back to my point real quick, just he, you know, the alcoholism and all the crap he went through and, you know, it's good to see him like land at Alabama and actually, you know, be able to sustain that for a while and to get another opportunity. I'm not mad at him.
What's it say about
again, he's not going to be Texas isn't going to be good with him as head coach. He's not a great head coach, but
what's it say about Saban though, that he could turn around Kiffin and Sark?
Yeah.
I mean,
Was that him just like, you know what? I'm just going to test myself here. It's like, I'm the best head coach in the history of college football. Like, let's, you know, bring in anybody. Yeah, Kiffin, that fuck up? Yeah, all right. What was his name? Like, Bobby Freshwater or something like that?
Joey Freshwater.
Joey Freshwater. Yeah, bring in Freshwater. Let's go. Run this offense. Oh, yeah, we're the best offense in the country?
Mm-hmm. Well, did you guys see the stat before, well, or after the title game this year, that there is not a single member on the 2021 coaching staff, the national title coaching staff, that was on Saban's last coaching staff that won a national title in 17 and 18. Not a single one. Not even a head strength coach. None. Well, that like dude that's, is
– Saban like is serious. To go get paid for a new gig.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
I bet if you look at his coaching tree though from Alabama, I bet it's awful.
Not good
at all. Yeah. It's not good. No. It's not good. Because you don't get to take the players.
You don't get to take the players, the head coach,
right.
The resources.
The recruiting footprint.
Literally, the name that recruits say yes to.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I think Mario learned a lot organizationally from Saban. Yeah. He is really good on that front.
Yeah.
And he's got a really good eye for talent. So there is something to hiring a Saban guy. But it's not.
Well, I think Mario learns you hire the good coordinators.
Yeah.
So you and they're going to go. Yeah. And they're good. And that's the thing is,
they're not going to
around. I trust Mario to hire someone good to replace Avalos because he's just got a good eye for talent, and some of that is Saban stuff.
Yep.
So you're saying we're Alabama the West is what you're saying.
By the way, wasn't one of the things people were talking about on Twitter is that like Tosh would be like Oregon's D coordinator?
I didn't realize he was like a defensive line coach for the Browns or something.
Yeah, Tosh Lupoi, he was Bama's defensive coordinator for a while, wasn't he?
He was.
For like was he actually decent? Ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they won a title, but I think no one liked him.
By the way, I thought
he was good.
For people listening who don't remember that name, he was the defensive line coach for Cal back in the day when they faked all those injuries against Oregon. So he's the defensive line coach who got suspended by the Pac-12. Or was it Pac-12 back then?
10 still.
Yeah, it might have been the Pac-10. For instructing his players to fake injuries against Oregon because the tempo was so quick. That's who that person is. You know, fast forward to now when he's like a legit coach in the NFL, was a legit defensive coordinator for Alabama. So crazy.
But here's so good. Here's how crazy good Saban is, like, at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2017-18, they won the national championship, right? Their offensive coordinator was Brian Daboll. No one thought he was good. They ran his at Saban said, go to the NFL.
Get Never out. Heard of that person.
Well, now he's like the hottest coordinator. Like, he's the OC in, for the Bills.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, Daboll, whatever.
Okay.
But when he was at Bama, they were like, it's all Tua. This guy stinks.
Tua and those monster running backs.
Well, and I love that
still there, or no,
that Tua team. Did you guys pay attention to who caught the winning catch against Georgia in that title game, you know, 3 years ago?
Was Judy somehow a freshman then?
No, was it was Devonta Smith.
Get out of here.
Caught the game-winning pass from Tua to beat Georgia in the Natty. And he was just some random true freshman.
Yeah.
Just some random dude.
Yeah.
What a machine they are. It's embarrassing. I hate it.
By the way,
it's ruined college football.
Oh, it stinks.
And then Clemson and ACC's ruined college football by being so bad, Clemson could, you know, blindfold walk into the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
It's unwatchable.
Notre Dame this year for 1 year.
For 1 year, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the college football is in a weird place.
Well, it really is. Nice to see a wide receiver win the Heisman. And he is
– he deserved it, for sure.
Absolutely. The guy is unstoppable. And then you watch him in the championship game, he's literally unstoppable.
But what's crazy is when he won it, you know, obviously he deserved it. His stats were crazy, crazy.
Without question, yeah.
And then I was, you know, kind of fell into a rabbit hole and looked at Jamar Chase's stats at LSU last year. Because everyone just assumed Justin Jefferson was better because he was a top 10 pick or whatever and is going to finish second.
Jefferson was like 20.
Okay, he's a first round pick.
Yeah, he's first round.
But he's going to finish second in rookie of the year voting. And everyone just kind of assumes. And then you look at Jamar Chase's stats and it was like 20 touchdown catches and he averaged 22 yards a catch on 80 catches.
The wide receivers in this draft are like, you know, I always scoff at teams who pick wide receivers top 10 because they rarely ever actually pan out.
I don't think they're any top 10 still, but.
But I'm saying these guys, and you completely forget about Chase because he decided to sit out. And he's probably the best receiver out of all of them. And you take that into account, and we're putting him above a Heisman winner. And so, I mean, it's insane. So, yeah. So if your team is in the top 10, mine is not, thankfully, just outside. Would you take a receiver, one of those guys?
I might.
Devontae, he's pretty small.
He is. By the way, Jefferson is really thin too. Like Jefferson's like really skinny guy, but he just fucking
6'4", 6'5".
I think it depends. It depends on what you have already.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so.
But say you're a team like the 49ers, who currently doesn't have a good wide receiver.
Well, didn't you guys just draft Ayuk?
Yeah, we got Ayuk. He had a good year, and then Debo is actually not going to be injured next year too. So. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You guys are going to go back to back
wide receivers.
First round wide receivers.
What is this? Steve Mariucci making draft picks?
I was going to say, is Al Davis somehow come back to
Holy shit.
It was so fitting, though, for Ruggs to go in the first round to the Raiders.
Yeah.
That guy.
That's a Gruden pick, too, though.
Ruggs can never stay healthy.
Nope.
No.
He had that one game against Kansas City in October. That was about it.
I did win my league, FYI.
Wow, but good for you.
That was nothing, but I drafted – I had, like – at one point, I had four rookie wide receivers.
Oh, wow.
Ruggs, Jefferson, Rager, and Claypool's a rookie, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
You play? Is it a money league?
Oh yeah.
How much money did you win?
Well, I got that. I got that Skrilla.
Boy.
And I was like, a little over two grand.
2 grand?
Yeah. Well, we have 14 teams.
Okay. Okay.
At $300, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay.
While we're talking about the 49ers and while we're talking
about – Can I borrow $20?
Borrow 20.
15. We'll call it is Carl's Jr. We'll call it
good on you using my MLB package.
No. Postmates me some Subway and we'll call it
Subway.
I'll just post Footlong. Me some
diarrhea. That's Come on, bro. Have some
Italian.
Have some pride. At least
make some Jimmy John's. Some Jimmy John's.
Please make it Quiznos or something, dude. Come on, man. Hey,
Quiznos? I don't think Quiznos exists.
Come on, man. Heat that bitch
up. I haven't seen a Quiznos in like 15 years.
You want that heated?
Yeah. I don't think they do exist.
I don't think they do either. Okay, so back to the NFL. The Jets just hired my defensive coordinator. Just now. Just came across my phone. The Jets hired Robert Saleh to be their head coach.
Same. 5-year deal.
I am depressed. So both.
I thought they were looking at Chargers for him.
I mean, a lot of teams. Like basically, he was the head coaching hot commodity this offseason. Because if you watched them at all like this year, and I don't know why you would have, but they were playing with third string guys at pretty much every position all year, and they were still stopping people. And like they're like Deion Jordan was a really good defensive lineman for them this year. That's not supposed to happen. Like we all know Deion Jordan's story. So he comes in and gets signed like after all the defensive linemen get injured. They just bring him in, like practice squad guys just cycling in and out like all season long at every level. And they still were just shutting people down. Like they almost beat the Seahawks.
I think we found out that the Seahawks are not good.
With
Dallas Cook.
Yeah, by the way, I was not sad about that. I watched that game and I was not sad about it.
Was there a bigger collapse for an MVP than Russ? I mean, they were giving it to him, what, 8 weeks in?
Yeah.
I mean, if he was just, I think it was just okay in the second half, he probably still would have been in the conversation. But God, they were bad. He was bad.
Yeah. And then they started bickering towards the end of the year too, which you just hate to see it. You know, you hate to see that team just have the infighting and fall apart. It's just a shame. Just a shame. Thought Pete Carroll had more control than that, but I guess not, you know?
Yeah. Like you said, you just hate to see Hockett.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. So Niners. So both of my teams now, both of the teams I follow, are in search of a defensive coordinator. And, you know, it's funny because, like, in college, it seems fairly simple just because there are so many other teams and, you know, you hear names kind of come up. But in the NFL, when you're talking about, like, hiring a coordinator, like, who do you hire? It's going to be, like, a position guy or somebody from college, right? Or somebody who just doesn't have a job right now.
I was going to say a lot of ex-head coaches that are trying to get another gig.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know who that could possibly be, but.
You don't see that. That doesn't happen too often in college, though, it seems like.
Yeah.
Especially kind of the like an older coach. Like, I was pretty surprised we got Moorhead, obviously, as an OC.
Yeah.
You know, when we got Brady Hoke as our DC, was that 2 years ago? I mean, so I think there's a reason why maybe you don't get a guy like that.
Why are you bringing up Brady Hoke, man?
Hey, is he available? Is he available?
Can you change?
No, he's not actually.
No, he's not. Oh.
He's the head coach at San Diego State. Put some respect on the Aztec's name.
Yeah.
Or else Marshall Faulk will come to see you.
Right.
Dan McGuire and his brother Mark are going to come knock down your door.
Dan McGuire. Can you change the channel from a podcast? Because I think Ski bringing up Brady Hoke. Click.
Did Jim Leavitt get fired yet?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's kind of the natural progression, right? Bring back Leavitt, baby.
Hoke can change, like Obama said.
I felt so bad for Shanahan this year, man, because you could see this year, like, he, you know, speaking of, like, presidents, like, he looked like a president, like, 7 years in. Like, you know how you have, like, the side-by-side pictures of, like, you know, during his inauguration and then his seventh and eighth year, and he's just got, like, his beard is entirely gray now. Like, it wasn't that way last year.
No, his DC and Etnies fits don't quite look the same this year as it did last year.
The Yeezys. Remember when he was wearing Yeezys and everybody?
Yeah, his,
oh boy.
His Stussy shirts don't quite look as hip.
All right, that's bullshit. And you know it. You can take that back right now. Stussy's away. Is that how it's pronounced?
I think so, Stussy, right?
Stussy?
Pretty sure it was how Stussy. Did you pronounce it?
I don't know. Stussy? I have no idea. I don't think I ever actually said it out loud.
It had those like two like German like things above the U.
It did.
A Stussy?
A Stussy.
Do you remember their most like clever hat and shirt in like 1997?
Refresh my memory.
It was like Tom and then a rooster, and they were like, "You cock, you pussy."
Oh boy. Oh boy.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Oh, it was terrible.
I don't remember that either.
It was very controversial.
That sounds like an old Big Johnson shirt that I would have had back then.
Oh, yeah, Big Johnson.
Yeah, some Austin Powers comedy there. Nice work, guys.
Right?
Were you more of a Big Johnson guy or a Big Dog guy? What? Remember Big Dog shirts?
Big Dog.
This pound don't run. You know, what? This bark is bigger than the bite.
Why hasn't that been repurposed into a MAGA shirt yet?
The Big Dog came back like a year or so ago and just made fun of MAGA stuff.
Oh, okay.
They literally did. Yeah, the creators were like, "Oh, this is fun." And they had about a 2 month period of fun. But
all right,
I made a bunch of money there in those 2 months.
Oh, I am 100% sure.
Good for them.
Yeah, those Big Johnson shirts. What was up with those?
They were fucking gold. I know that.
Can you imagine wearing one of those?
I'm gonna go. Someone's got to be selling one somewhere. I'm gonna find an old vintage Big Johnson shirt, circa like 98.
I feel like, and, you know, I haven't seen one in the wild in like 20 plus years. I feel like half of them were like golden shower entendres. It was
Oh. Okay. I didn't know what you were talking about with the Big Johnson shirts.
Oh, now you do?
Wow. What a careful Google search that had to be.
Big Johnson shirt. That's great. All right, speaking of controversial, how about Urban Meyer to the Jags?
Meh.
I've heard they're going to hire like Trent Baalke.
There you go, King. 32 bucks on eBay.
There you go.
Vintage 1990s Big Johnson darts t-shirt. It's the little slogan at the bottom says, "You'll always land three in the bed when you're tossing a Big Johnson."
God, the 90s were awesome. Totally inappropriate.
I'm so buying some of these.
Big Johnson.
There's so many.
Big Johnson fishing rods. Oh, easy to reel them in when you've got a Big Johnson.
Yep.
Catch and snapper.
Yeah.
You'll always get a nut off when you've got a Big Johnson. Socket wrenches.
Instead of your Subway sandwich, King, I'll get you a Big Johnson t-shirt.
Oh, I'm now looking. God, the art was so good.
So yeah. Good. Big Johnson bait shack. You won't need to be a master baiter when she sees the size of your Johnson. Mm-hmm. That's so dumb.
Fucking bring it back. Bring back Big Johnson.
All right, so anything on Urban Meyer to the Jags?
Eh, I don't see how it works.
No.
No, Jags. I don't either. It, like, it's the Jags being the Jags, right?
Like that's and just I think Urban is actually a very good X and O's coach. Like, I don't actually doubt that from him. But he didn't take losing easily as a college coach at Florida and Ohio State, where, 95% of the time he had a vastly superior roster to his opponents, mm-hmm. which will definitively not be the case for 2+ years. You know what I mean? Yep. I don't see how he just doesn't burn out.
Yeah.
Do I see him being able to handle pro athletes better than some of these other college coaches that go into the NFL. He's not going to be, he's not one of those guys that, try to be like a father figure, when he was coaching in college. So I think he's going to be fine dealing with, all the prima donnas in the NFL.
Kind of reminds me of like Calipari when he went, when he coached an NBA team. He's like, this like executive head coach of a college football program. And he just, it just doesn't translate well to dealing with professionals. And I very much don't think Urban Meyer is going to work in the NFL. Like I do not see it at all. This is a crazy hire. This is guaranteeing that the Jags are going to be bad for the next, 3 to 6 years.
No, if Trevor Lawrence hits, that'll cover up a million warts, in fairness.
Yeah. He's going to have to hit like crazy, though, because the roster is terrible.
That's why I don't know how he's going to handle it. Because let's say Lawrence hits, they're 5-11 next year. This guy Urban was falling down the sidelines during 12-1 years, grabbing his brain. I just don't know how he's going to handle losing in a sport that is literally legislated for 90% of the teams to lose 7+ games.
Yeah.
It's just sort of what it is. I don't know.
It's another good point, though. Like his last two college jobs, he had to stop because of like serious health issues. And so what makes him think that the NFL is going to be like a better lifestyle choice for keeping himself healthy and not dead? Like
$12 million a year or whatever. That probably helps.
Money's nice, but you need to sleep. Like you need to actually take care of yourself. If you'd like to stay alive, if you have these like serious health issues,
I'd give up a couple years for $12 million a year.
Well, it might be all of your
years. Or whatever. I don't even know what he's making. I just know that was the rumor that he
That's
was
That's what I'm asking. Saying. It's like it might be all of your years that you're giving up. So
did he actually have like serious health problems, or was that – I thought that was almost more of just an excuse almost just to leave.
He had a cyst in his brain.
He definitely had the cyst on his brain. Well,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? The Jags are such like a non-factor anyways, and you're right, Ski, like Robinson was good this year. Like the running back, came out of nowhere, was really good. He was on my fantasy team. He was fantastic. It was a nice little early season free agent pickup for me. But you get a good running back, you get a, quarterback who hits, we'll see. But I just, Urban Meyer is not it, Like putting all of your eggs in the Urban Meyer basket, not so much. But whatever. Did you guys watch the rest of the playoffs too? Because it was like wild card was pretty fucking fantastic.
Pretty much everything but that Saints game was great.
Everything, right?
And unless you were watching that on the Nickelodeon channel.
Oh boy.
They whoever thought like, all right, we'll put this game on the Nick channel.
They had gold.
The game itself sucked.
It was so bad.
But oh my god, SpongeBob coming up like between the goalposts, and the fucking Sean Payton got gacked after the game, dude. That's so good. It's so good. Like, and you know, beyond all that, like the superficial stuff, you had like the announcers on Nickelodeon legitimately explaining things to like new football viewers. So like, you know, the whole point's to bring in kids. They're explaining what the red zone is. They're, you know, they're talking about why teams do certain things and stuff like that. Like, that's great.
I did like.
Why don't they have a Nickelodeon game every week? Like,
was it Nate Burleson?
I
just remember watching. There was part where one of the Saints players was yelling at the refs, and he was like, now, children, remember, this is a good reminder to use your words if you want to get what you want. The ref was like, yeah, get away.
So good. And again, the game is so bad. But literally everything else. I mean, like, Lamar Jackson, you know, finally winning his playoff game to just stick it to you, King, who is the, you know, prototypical Lamar Jackson hater.
I'm just saying. He lost the Chargers in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to hear it.
But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I never fully really bought into the Titans anyways. So, you know.
They were just the team. If they got a lead, they just would have pounded you to death.
Yeah. And they, like, really all you had to do was shut down, you know, focus on shutting down Henry. And then hope you got somebody who can cover, you know.
AJ Brown,
yeah, on the outside. And, you know, the Ravens have good corners. Like, Humphrey, he was All-Pro this year. So, and Peters, obviously. So, you know, they got their win.
I do love the Peters stats that they selectively pick, where they're like, hey, no one has had more interceptions since 2014 than Marcus Peters. And they conveniently vow, hey, no one has had more 20, 30, 40, and 50-yard receptions against them as a DB than Marcus Peters.
Yeah. He takes a lot of gambles.
He gambles. That's perfectly fine. It's just when people call him a lockdown corner, I'm like,
No.
He's a gambler, which is fine. He is good at football. I'm not There's saying he's not.
That. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, that pick six against Russ – Oh man,
that
was a thing of beauty. Like, how many times in your life have you ever seen anybody jump a screen pass like that? Oh,
that guy will never jump a pass as perfect.
No, it was so good. But I've talked about this before, but like the pick six is like the most satisfying sports play to me, and that one is like put it on a fucking, like, put it in a museum. If the bond's in a museum.
I still think there's tiers of pick sixes, though.
Sure.
Like, when you just kind of catch, like, an overthrow 25 yards down the field and you run it back, that's cool. You just run it back for 70 yards.
A lot of blocking involved, yeah.
But it's that sudden where it's a DB just absolutely jumping or a linebacker they didn't see that just two-step, three-step drop, throw, bang, catch, and he's – and then, like – they catch it, and you instantly know they're gone. That's the best. That's the best. Because the game just flips. The momentum is up. Yes. Oh, it's so good.
The 10-yard out.
And they just jump at
full speed. Oh. And then they're gone. Like, as soon as they're gone. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Ah, love it.
Who had the bigger L over the weekend? Was it Steelers? Or was it Mitch Trubisky winning the Nickelodeon Most Valuable Player by getting absolutely stomped by the Saints?
The Steelers.
Oh, it was the Steelers. Juju caught the biggest. You're
shitting on yourself more than the fucking Steelers did? Oh my God. Like, and by the way, like, they almost got themselves back into that fucking game too. Oh my God. That's like the worst first quarter you've ever seen in your life by like a good football team too. Woof. The Browns, I think they were up like 28-0 and they'd had like 80 yards.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Well, you know.
That game felt like the Duck Penn State game, you know, where they first play of the game, they take it to the house for play for Steelers, snap in the end zone for a touchdown. Just like, well.
Hey guys. So you will notice over the next half hour or so of this podcast that the quality drops a little bit.
That is because the recording for the second half of this episode kind of went to crap. And so I apologize for that. But you know what? We're all in this together. Hashtag COVID-19. I think we'll all be okay. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Good. Less games Richardson misses.
Oh, it's great. And, probably Figueroa with that ankle sprain.
Yeah, any games they can miss right now is great for them.
Gold.
I mean, they're playing, like, Terry hasn't played in a couple weeks. They're...
Well, I guess the thing I don't quite understand about, like, the COVID stuff is, like, I feel like Terry had COVID, or has, right?
Well, Dana would, if at this point, Dana would have said if it was an injury or not.
Right, so he had COVID or has. So it's just weird that one player can trigger it, you know, a total shutdown. I guess we can only say that Jalen Terry has no friends.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing about basketball too, right? Is you're in one really small locker room, so the whole contact tracing thing is like you're only around these people all the time. And so if you get COVID, like, that shuts down everything. And it's the same thing with the NBA. Like, the NBA not being in a bubble, this isn't going to go well.
Well, and I know it's kind of a different tangent, but have you seen the quote from 2 days ago from George Hill when the NBA said we're, you know, kind of changing some stuff and juxtaposed with the quotes from Lillard last night on the whole COVID stuff?
No, what was that?
So Lillard was like, listen, man, his quote was, COVID has no friends. Mm. So I come home, I go to practice, I go to the game, I come home, I don't leave, we order in, we do whatever.
Right.
Right? He's like, I am not putting my family, my team, my friends, I'm not putting anyone in danger.
And from his perspective, that makes sense because he has a new baby. A young kid and a wife at home and a recording studio in the other room. So that works for Dame. Like, to be fair to, you know, everybody else on the other side of this issue. But again, like, if you're a professional athlete and if you're playing this sport and you're getting paid millions of dollars to do so, part of your responsibility to that is to not get COVID and to avoid it if you can. So what did George Hill say?
Hey, I just...
You're gonna pull up the quote? Yeah. By the way, Ski and I we're both watching this Blazers-Pacers game, and I noticed that they all of a sudden have the Jumpman logo on there.
Like, yeah, I think every team that has because Nike is just done.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, the hometown edition, I don't know what it's called, classic. Okay. But every team has one jersey with Jumpman.
Okay. Okay.
Except for the Hornets, and I think one other team has it on everything.
Okay.
But, yes. But here's the George Hill quote. A day before, Lillard was like, listen, I don't care. We got to be responsible. George Hill. What team does George Hill play on?
Is he with the Bucks still somehow?
He's not on the Pacers?
Nope.
I'm watching the Pacers. I don't see him, so I guess not.
He is an Oklahoma City Thunder.
Huh, that makes sense.
So George Hill's quote on the NBA tightening the COVID ropes because, well, they keep getting games canceled was, I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to see my family, I'm going to see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in my room 24/7. And this part has validity.
He's right.
If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing.
He's also right there.
That part is right, but the first part is dumb.
Yeah.
Because they work in a league with a salary cap that is largely based on TV revenue. Yeah. So if you just want to keep getting games canceled, ESPN, TNT, and ABC will be like, well, then we're not paying you for these 79 games that didn't happen, and then the cap, you know, lowers. So if the NBA players want their salaries for a year or two to lower because George Hill wants to go out to an Applebee's I mean, they can do that.
Was the NBA's response, was this because of Kyrie?
No, I think it was just because today's Thursday, and the Suns game on Saturday has already been canceled.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics have missed a couple games in a row now, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, you know, the NBA is just tightening the ropes, which is, you know, good for them. Because the players didn't want to be in a bubble, so they have to do.
So hockey started yesterday. Did you see their weird, like, hybrid season and, like, conferences they have now?
Yes. Yeah, it's very...
You could have done something like that, I guess. It wouldn't have been as exciting because it's, you know, six teams playing each other for 55 games.
But I think the NBA didn't go to that extreme, but I think they're kind of close because if you actually look at team schedules, not all of them because there are some outliers, but, like, the Warriors haven't played on the road since, like, the day after Christmas.
Yeah,
the Blazers haven't left the West Coast. And tonight is the first game of a 7-game homestand. And there are other teams like that. And they haven't even released a second-half schedule. So the NBA is trying to mitigate some of that travel and...
Well, I've seen multiple home and homes, that old home and homes, but it's just you play two in Golden State back-to-back.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, the Blazers play the Grizzlies back-to-back nights at Moda.
Play the same team over and over.
Yeah, same people. You think if something happens, at least you're not spreading it so fast.
I do wonder if, like, that part, for teams that are geographically removed, will do that more often. Because how dumb is it, kind of? Like, it is kind of dumb that the Blazers have to go to Minnesota twice a year and Memphis twice a year. And they have to do vice versa. Well, they could really just do a back-to-back and just kind of get it over with. You don't have to come back out here because that's a really long trip.
Yeah, or at least, you know, a day in between, day off in between, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to necessarily be back-to-back, but yeah, if you're there, why the fuck fly home and then have to go back there again later?
Yeah, it's always so funny when the Blazers play the Grizzlies on January 1st and then they'll go back out to Memphis until April 27th.
It's common sense scheduling, which is good. It doesn't really do what the NBA generally likes to do, which seems to be to just mix it up for the sake of mixing it up. It's more common sense stuff where you're just if you're gonna be somewhere, just stay there. Because by all means, otherwise you become George Hill and you become a super spreader. Transition this into Harden to the Nets. I know you don't buy it because you don't like Kyrie.
I don't like Kyrie.
You don't.
It's weird that I've been saying that he's a flake, and what is he doing?
He's flaking, yeah.
Flaking, yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, well, looking at this, it's a weird spot. Like it makes the Nets like a weird team. Like I don't know how to place the Nets because I don't know like what Durant is right now. Like
Durant's good. Of course he's good.
But he's like, you know, coming off his injury. Kyrie,
he's healthy and playing a lot of minutes though.
Yeah, but how long is that gonna last? You know, first
season at least.
Okay, that's fair. Kyrie being what Kyrie is, you know, we've established that. And then Harden, like, who the hell knows when Harden's going to be motivated? Because
I actually think Harden's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think
he's going to drop those 20 pounds here in the next.
He's going to be fat for about 6 more weeks. But like motivation wise, I think he's going to be.
He's really good. Durant's really good. But getting those three guys, does that make them a contender for a title? Like, does that make them better than the Lakers?
No, I don't think so.
Because
they don't play defense.
If Kyrie plays like we've seen him play before, then they can. Like, because he's really fucking good when he tries and he, like, dedicates himself. He's really good. But we just haven't seen that very often.
Well, we were cracking on how bad the Lakers were last year outside of LeBron and AD. Have you seen the other players other than the big three they have there now?
They got DeAndre Jordan, shout out to 2012.
Yeah. Who's starting, yeah.
There are some nice round-out players.
He did get a coach's DNP like two straight nights like last week.
And Jeff Green, that's their other starter. I don't know any of their other bench players right now.
They got the white guy, Joe Harris, right.
They do have a shooter. That's the one difference between them and the Lakers of last year. They actually got one guy that could shoot.
They got the white guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to look at their roster right now.
I mean, if they all buy in, you know, because you know where I stand on Kyrie, whatever. Mm-hmm. If they all buy in, that offense is going to just be dick slapping. That is going to be a crazy – I think it's already number one in the NBA. It's going to – yeah, I think so.
That was with – well, LeVert was probably averaging like 20 off the bench. And
yeah, I mean, and you can parse that with efficiency and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense is going to be good. But that defense
I mean, can Deion Jordan even move anymore to play defense?
No, he is awful. He is old, and he's like a barge ship, like just kind of trudging through slop.
You know what I'm loving as we get older is calling professional athletes old and talking about how they can't move anymore when they're younger than us now. So like, we're calling DeAndre Jordan, like, old and plodding. How old do you think DeAndre Jordan is?
32.
35?
He is 32 years old.
He is aging bad.
Talking about aging, I was actually watching the Nets game last night. And, man, they show that that behind-camera view of KD's head.
Oh, he is balding so much.
That is really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Really bad.
Yeah, I'm looking through their roster.
34? 33?
Who?
Durant?
34?
30. I'd say 31.
31 even? Ooh.
Yeah,
he was probably already kind of balding at Texas, wasn't he? That shit was starting to go then.
No, I think he's 32. Yeah, he was born in 88. Same as Jordan. Yeah.
Man, some of these guys... I hope these guys not just start to shave.
Actually, that's kind of crazy, is that Durant is 32 and LeBron is 36.
Yeah.
And it feels like LeBron is a million years older than KD.
Do you see that video LeBron posted about that with that like dude who was acting like LeBron when he found out that Harden got traded?
Stop throwing the ball at
me! Stop throwing the ball at me! Kyrie! Kyrie! You need Harden, Kyrie! Kyrie! Say something! Say something, Kyrie! That's good, man. That's good stuff. So here's the deal. The Nets are in the East, therefore I will not follow them.
And all their games will start at like 4 o'clock our time.
I will not watch the Nets until they get to the NBA Finals.
Speaking of games that start at 4 o'clock, did you pay attention? Oh, I know the Oregon women's game started at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Did you pay attention to the Pac-12 men's basketball schedule today?
I know Colorado started at like 1.
Yeah, I think Colorado and Cal was over at like 3, and there were two other games. Yeah. And there were three games in the Pac-12 that were over by 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
how do they expect us to watch them?
They don't.
And then they put the Beavs on in like West Coast prime time.
I
don't know what they're doing.
They don't. Like,
I yelled at Matt Prehm about this. Prehm told me, oh, well, this game's on FS1. And I told him, it's noon on a Wednesday. Like, you can take your FS1, Matt Prehm, and you can stuff it.
They know nobody's watching that game anyways. They're trying to get games in, man. Like, they just want to get through this season. Like, without teams having to cancel all their games.
On a Thursday, your fan base isn't even watching that.
No.
That's what I don't understand.
No. They're the only people who will, like, halfway care. And that group will maybe, you know, listen to the radio broadcast while they're working. Or, like, have it up on their work computer or something.
How do they even know? I don't even know these games are happening.
Yeah, same. You brought it up. That's the first I've thought about it. Because by the way, again, I'm not watching that game anyways. So, like,
I don't expect you to watch.
But who is? Who is watching that game?
Well, Wazoo and UCLA fans.
Yes.
Play it at 6 so they can watch it. Play it at 7.
So they'll just.
They can watch it.
They'll DVR it and watch it later.
This is college football. Like, there's a limited inventory for college football games. I get the weird times.
It's like, nobody cares, though.
Are they trying to pander to the work from home crowd, maybe?
Yeah, well, I hope not, because if that's what's happening, be prepared for that Arizona State-Utah game in football Wednesday at 1 p.m.
Oh, that'd be the best.
It's I don't understand it. Oregon's had a couple of those. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of them was canceled because of COVID. The UCLA game. That's,
well, the last game they played, they moved from 8 p.m. to 2 p.m.
And I didn't even know.
Yeah. They didn't tell anybody.
All of a sudden, I'm like, wait, it's halftime? My app on ESPN says it starts at 8.
Dana was done it. Dana the day before was talking about how he doesn't know if he's going to be able to stay awake for an 8 o'clock tip. All of a sudden, they go early bird special on you for the 2 o'clock start.
It feels like kid sports, doesn't it? Like, there's a snowstorm, and so it's like, hey, guys, we're probably going to have snow. Let's just play it at 10. And everybody's like, hey, is that cool? Sound good, everybody? Okay, cool. All right, see you guys then. Let's just get it in. And then, like, maybe one kid can't make it or whatever, but, you know, whatever. They play the game anyways. Again, man, like, this is Pac-12 regular season basketball. There's, you know, a few hundred people who maybe care about that.
Well, that's my point. So,
yeah. Oh no. And the blame goes to Larry Scott for that. I mean, let's not, like, gloss over that. Like, this is his fault. And by the way, I'm not saying it's good for the brand. Like, it's not. Clearly, this is horrible planning and horrible scheduling. But it's like, I also acknowledge that I don't give a fuck about these games. Like, most people don't give a fuck about these games. Like, I'm it's still early season basketball to where, you know, like, I'm kind of paying attention. Like, I'll catch a game if it's in my, like, you know, I guess this is what we're talking about. If it's in my, you know, time frame that I can watch a game, I'll turn it on. Like, sure. But I'm not going out of my way to watch a basketball game right now. I'm just not. Football just ended, man. I'm not there yet. And by the way, it was still NFL playoffs, so. By the way, the Oregon women, like, so I understand why this is happening. So they lost to Arizona today. That's, you know, 3 straight losses. So UCLA, no, not 3 straight. 3 out of 4.
Down by 60.
Yeah, 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4, though.
Excuse me. So the UCLA loss, they went up against a kid who just ended up, you know, having, like, a career day. She had 30 points, like, 10 rebounds or whatever. She fucking, like, schooled them. Stanford is really good.
Well, they're number one.
Yes.
So
losing to Stanford.
Hard-hitting analysis there.
Thank you. Hashtag analysis.
Yes.
and then Arizona today. Arizona, like, I know Arizona's top 10, but that's, you know, that's a little bit of a shocker to lose the way they did. Like, to just not score points.
Their offense is weird and it is bad.
Yeah.
It's okay. But, like, the overarching thing, you know, they have 5 5-star freshmen.
Yeah, Fab 5. Yeah.
But this happens when teams who kick the shit out of people for years and those stars leave, teams line up to, you know, punch them in the kidneys. Just bang, bang, bang. And I don't blame Oregon's. There's not a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that are going to do this to them. know, they'll lose some more, you know, respectably, because they're young. But there's like four teams in the Pac-12 that have juniors and seniors got their asses kicked for three straight years that are like, you know what? We're running the score.
Yeah, they spent a couple years looking at Sabrina sitting on the bench for the entire second half, like chuckling it up with all of her teammates, and so they were ready for this.
Oregon is on the wrong end of it this year, and they will come out better for it and be on the other end, you know, going forward. But they're still going to make the tournament.
Yeah,
they're just going to be a team that.
They might make a run too, because by the time the tournament happens, they're all going to have a whole bunch of games under their belt. All those freshmen, and so we'll see.
They're missing their tallest and best player, that chick with the like full arms.
Sedona Prince, yeah.
Yeah, she fucking.
Yeah.
She's a tank down low.
Getting Prince back is going to be big. They've never really had her, to be honest. I mean, she played in like a couple of games, but other than that, like she's. It's funny because she herself downplayed all of these injuries earlier in the season, like on Twitter and stuff, saying like, "Oh, I just rolled my ankle, everything's fine," blah blah blah. But she hasn't played. So
was she the one that like Alex Smithed her leg at Texas?
I don't remember her Texas injury, but I do remember that she had one.
I thought it was something like Alex like snapped really her leg in half or something like that.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember if it was that, but yeah, no, again, you get her back, those freshmen, you know, turn into sophomores basically, and I could see them easily making a run. By the way, I'm getting ahead of this now. I need a Pow Pow jersey. Like, I need it. Pow Pow's dope. Like, I don't know how much you guys have actually watched of them, but Pow Pow is dope.
Probably got multiple first team freshman All-Americans on their team.
Yeah, for sure. All right, shall we wrap up, or you guys got anything else? We'll do our list, and I got some trivia. It's different trivia, the style of it, but all right, let's roll into our list. What you got, King?
So our list is what, top three trios?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, on the heels of Harden, creating yet another trio.
Oh,
wait, what did you think it was?
That's the kind of trio you were talking about.
What's a different kind of trio?
Well, I was gonna say
it's not athletes. It's any kind of trio.
Yeah,
I mean, okay,
any kind of trio.
So my number three being. The Chili's fajita trio with carne asada, shrimp, and chicken works?
Yes, because my number three is the Seaside trio from Red Lobster with coconut shrimp, garlic, shrimp scampi, and shrimp linguine.
Shrimp! That's quality. my number three is rock, paper, scissors. Obviously. It's hard to top that, actually, but they're going to be my number three. Fuck with rock, paper, scissors. Like, nothing goes back farther than that. That's like caveman stuff. Except they didn't really have scissors or paper, but you know, you catch my drift. They were big into rocks. Wow. Full circle conversation to what we started out talking about on this podcast.
So my number two trio is LaMichael James, Kenyon Barner, and DeAnthony Thomas.
It's good. It's a good trio.
It is. My number two trio is the Beastie Boys.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't like old Beastie Boys. Like when they were doing like the punk stuff or whatever, I don't like that music at all. It's not good. Like Fight for Your Right to Party is not good in my opinion.
Well, I'm kind of getting shit on here, so I'll change mine. I'm going to do 182. There you go. There's a better trio for you.
What's your number two?
Small things.
Blink 182.
King or what?
That's good. I'll accept that.
That's good. Let's see. What did I have for my number two? I was going to do like Marx Brothers on here, but I forgot that there was a fourth one. Zeppo. Everybody always forgets about Zeppo. How about Simba, Timon, and Pumbaa? Get some.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
What a cool phrase.
Did we talk about that live action one? I feel like we did.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was okay. I thought like the Seth Rogen, Billy on the Street, like combo was good. Like those two were good. I didn't like Beyonce. Like I get why they got Beyonce. Speaking of trios, but like no, it was very much forced. The Beyonce Childish Gambino dynamic. Yeah. Anyway, what's your one, bro?
My number one trio is Mitch Mitchell, Noel Redding, and Jimi Hendrix, forming the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
The whole group's wide except Jimmy.
You can't hear Jimmy.
All right.
I'll go with my number one trio is The Three Kings. And that's Clooney, Wahlberg, and Ice Cube.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. Mine.
Never seen it.
Really? Check it out.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good movie.
I just figure it's Wahlberg being like, come over here to Fenway Park, George.
Mm-hmm. Park your car in the yard.
And then somehow, yeah, there's a bank robber with a mask on. And I've seen lots of movies. I don't care.
My number one is A Tribe Called Quest.
Represent.
Done.
Do you think amidst the COVID stuff, do you think if Dinkins was the mayor, New York City would be doing better?
Mr. Dinkins, would you please be my mayor? I love all those like early 90s rap references to like local politicians. Like Wu-Tang, remember Wu-Tang? They would talk about, like, they would give shout-outs to, like, their buddies at the ends of songs. I'm like, did they just say Rod Strickland? No, he's talking about his buddy, like, Ron Strickland. Like, who the fuck is that? Oh, man. So, by the way, a lot of, like, honorable mentions on this. Like, what'd I get? The Three Amigos, obviously. Huey,
Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. The Chipmunks. I mean, shit.
Ridenour, Jackson.
Freddie?
No.
Fred Jones?
No.
Mike Jones?
Robert Johnson.
Bob! Hell yeah!
Man in the middle.
Man.
Oh, that was good stuff. Remember, motherfuckers like yelling Bob at the TV every time he get the ball. Bob!
It was so bad.
All right, different.
Was Rojo like 40 when he was playing for the Ducks?
He looked like it.
He right? did.
He looked like Samuel L. Jackson's character in Django.
Yeah.
Just his eyebrows weren't as bushy and gray. But like he moved just like
like he couldn't bend his back.
No. I remember when he played Kansas, and Kirk Heinrich looked at him and was like, I'm cooking you, bro.
Yeah!
Nick Collison was like, okay.
Just go stand over there.
Stand over there.
All right, so different format for trivia. So I'm not doing multiple choice. I'm just going to ask you questions. And whoever has the most points by the end of this will win. And so I have, like, I think I got about, like, 15 questions here, and I'm just going
to...
Well, again, they're going to be quicker just because there's no, like, multiple choice or anything like that. So, King, give me a number between 1 and 10.
7.
Ski, give me a number between 1 and 10.
3.
All right, it was 6. So, King starts. King, what are the names of Christopher Columbus's ships?
disease, racism, Trump.
Close. Close. Ski, you got this one?
Is it Santa Maria? Pinta? Is that one?
Yeah.
And
you one more. My guy.
I know this.
Like the most un-American person I've ever seen.
We are true Americans by not, believing in that, fake Italian, whatever the fuck he was.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you are. You're basically a Native American.
The Mina? Yeah.
Yes, you got it. Mina the Pinta and the Santa Maria.
Sweet. All
right. Ski, next one. What are the names of the Three Stooges?
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Yes.
And sometimes Shemp.
King, what are the names of Rice Krispies mascots?
Rice, Crackle, and Pop.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
That point goes to Ski.
No.
You fucked it up! You didn't get it right! Man, 3-0.
No, because as soon as I said Pop, he was already interjecting. Rewind the tape. Because if you would have given me the... It's Snap.
Okay, no. I'll take away that point for Ski, but I'm not giving it to you, King. It's Snap, Crackle, Pop. Like, it's... That's how you say it, too. Come on, man. Figure it out.
I like the rice.
I said Rice Krispies. It was just in my head. But I knew what I was talking about.
All right, Ski.
But again, he knows the white guy thing. There are all these white people. Santa Maria and all that. Good Lord.
All right, Ski. What are the names of the three body regions of an insect?
The thorax. Head, thorax, and... Goddamn. Abdomen? I don't know.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's it!
Yeah.
Wow, good stuff.
Man.
All right, King.
10th grade biology fucking coming up.
I'm saying, like, that brings back some memories, right?
I can't biology.
10th grade, huh?
I was going to say, that's probably more middle school.
Some of us were learning that at Roosevelt, but, whatever.
That was really high, so.
King, name the three singers in Destiny's Child.
Beyonce, Kelly, and Sam.
Nope. The first two were right.
Yeah, I don't know the third one.
Because that was a rotating one.
It was Beyonce. It wasn't, actually. Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, and Michelle Williams. All right, so...
Are you sure there wasn't an original third one?
There was an original... Wasn't there like a fourth, and then they got rid of her?
Maybe.
I think that was the thing. All right, so this
we're talking, yeah.
So this goes back to King then. Let's see, name.
That's my turn.
Is it? I thought you just didn't get that as a response, right?
No, I didn't get it as a response.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so it goes to you. Okay, you're right. Name the three branches of the U.S. government.
Antifa, MAGA, and the military.
The military.
The police. Police.
That's incorrect. Weird. Yeah. All right. What you got, King?
Federal, state, and county.
Legislative, executive, and judicial.
Oh, and judicial. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right, King. Who are Dorothy's friends in The Wizard of Oz?
The Tin Man?
Mm-hmm.
The Scarecrow?
Yep.
And the Cowardly Lion.
All right, way to get the movie one. Ski, what are the three primary colors? This is going back to elementary school, bro.
That legislative one? I don't know what this one is at all.
Red, blue, and green?
Nope. King, you got this?
Yellow, red, and Pantone?
You got the first two. Pick a legit color for the last one, and you might get this.
Yellow, red, and purple.
Nope. Yellow, red, and blue. Let's see. King, what are the three events in the triathlon?
Running, mm-hmm. biking, and swimming?
Yes. That is correct. Ski.
Remember, on that note, remember when we used to wear Iron Man watches because of that shit?
Yeah, that's right. Ski, what is the Holy Trinity?
What, the cross? Spectacles? Testicles? That's what you were doing there.
No, that's not it, actually. Sorry. No. Yeah. Do you know?
Is it the Father, the Mother, and the Holy Ghost?
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is it. Should he get the point for that? I mean, you kind of...
I don't care.
You kind of handed that one to him.
I didn't get it.
Whose turn is this, King?
Sure.
Name one of the Jonas Brothers. One of them.
Nick Jonas.
That's one. Nice work.
That was the only one I was going to be able to say, too.
Jonas.
There's also Joe, yeah. Can you name the other one?
A Joe bro.
You know the other one?
Jonas.
John?
Nick. Nick Jonas.
Nick! Oh, I feel like Nick is really famous, too.
Let's see.
They all look the same.
So let's see. Ski, what are the first names of the three amigos?
I don't know any of their names. Chevy Chase, Martin Short, Steve Martin.
You know this one, King? Probably not, right?
No.
Yeah, okay. Ned, Lucky, and Dusty.
I've seen the movie, though. They go, ooh.
Dusty Bottoms, man.
Dusty Bottoms. Mm-hmm.
So this one is King. Name a Powerpuff Girl.
AOC.
That's good, though. By the way, like, I don't expect either of you to know any of this. Like, you have two sons.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so I've never seen.
Yeah. How about you,
Ski? I know who they are. I just don't know.
You know one?
Amy?
I love that you think they have, like, an actual normal name.
Well, that's... I feel like it would be a normal name.
Glenda? Is Glenda one? Blossom, Buttercup, and Bubbles. Come on, man. Figure it out.
The three bees, the killer bees.
The killer bees on the swarm.
That's what I've always said.
Mm-hmm.
They were the triple bees before Big Baller Brand.
So this one goes to...
Bagwell, Biggio, and Bill.
Yeah. Oh, boy. By the way, we missed that one.
There's a trio right there for you.
Yeah, geez. All right, we got to end this quick. Who's on this one?
King's at... No, I'm
up. You're up. Okay. Name the members of TLC.
T-Boz, Left Eye, Chili.
Yes. That is a victory for Ski. Well done. Congratulations. You know trios better than King does. King, you're a failure. And good luck with the rest of your days going forward, knowing that you're a failure.
Yeah, he knows Christopher Columbus stuff. Racist! Have fun celebrating that day, you white supremacist. Good lord. I would have thrown that question if I even knew it. Hey. Christopher Columbus, he slaughtered the Native Americans. I don't want to know that.
I'm going to go head to fucking Little Italy and fucking get after it. I know they're raging.
Well, you know. They took COVID serious. Don't mean to get political, but, you know.